Welcome everyone to the very first edition of the American Copper, a podcast where we will discuss all things carp related in the USA. Featuring anglers' interviews, stories, and monthly competitions with the opportunity to get behind the anglers who get behind the rods. Traditional US and Euro anglers, fly anglers, and anyone who has a passion for this incredible fish, the carp, Cyprinus carpio. Much maligned and misunderstood, and undoubtedly one of the finest sport fish to be targeted here in the USA. This is where we, the guilty ones, can meet. Sponsored by the American Carp Society, where the fish is the star. My name is Sean Manning, and I'm grateful to be your host. Today, our guest is Mr. Brandon Turini from Atlanta. Brandon, you got to tell me, is that G silent or not?
No, it's actually, you can actually pronounce it. Turigny is the proper Turigny, way to say it.
Sorry. Yeah.
No worries. Everybody has a hard time with it. It's a weird one.
So, yeah, Mr. Brandon Turigny is a is an American Carp Society member, and he's been coordinating with us here over this past few weeks, specifically on an area that is very dear to his heart, which is fly carping, which is fly fishing for carp specifically. So Brandon, before we get going on that, how long have you actually been targeting carp in any specific manner? How long have you been fishing for?
Well, I've been fishing since I was, a toddler, however old I was when I was able to hold a fishing rod on my own. And when I was in college, I got into fly fishing, and really just took off with that sport, fell in love with it. Halfway through college, I transferred to a college up in Georgia, and was working for a fly shop, just north of Atlanta, called Alpharetta Outfitters. And, I was really kind of missing the saltwater fishing and, you know, the sight fishing aspect of saltwater fly fishing.
So you started fly fishing in saltwater for them?
I did. Yeah. Well, not for carp. I really got my passion for fly fishing from chasing redfish, which is very similar to fishing for carp. And so when I was living in Alpharetta, I was really starting to miss it. And my shop manager told me that if I really missed chasing redfish, I should go try to catch carp on the Chattahoochee River, which was our local river there. And so he took me out and I wasn't really sure about it. I didn't know what to expect. I'm from Florida, is where I was born. And so I was really just used to grass carp. I wasn't really used to the common carp yet. And so they took me out on the Chattahoochee and took me into some carp flats and almost immediately started seeing fish tailing, just like if I was out, on the Florida coast chasing redfish or in the Bahamas chasing bonefish, the carp were doing the exact same thing that those two species, saltwater species, do. Which is tailing in shallow water as they feed. And it was pretty much the exact same game. And in some respects, a little bit tougher. And so I fell in love with it. And then from that first trip out, I've been really kind of obsessed with carp and trying to find them. And I now live up in the Northeast and I target them on big river systems here as well. And on the big lakes up here.
Do you have any, with people that we've spoken to in the past that fly fish, and most people don't start off, their first target fish is usually not a carp. They start with, you know, trout or bonefish or salmon if they're obviously in freshwater, or bonefish and redfish, like you said, in brackish or saltwater. But what was it specifically for you as a fly angler, you know, that really got your interest in regards to targeting carp? Because most anglers that we speak to that fish for them on the fly or have fished for them on the fly, a lot of them have obviously a negative attitude to start with, or they're somewhat indifferent. And then what happens is they seem to get humbled pretty quick, don't they?
Yeah, I liked it from the beginning, just for this aspect of it was a visual game. You know, it's more of you're out there, you're hunting fish, and you're not, you know, just mindlessly just casting a fly rod at a bank, hoping that you might get an eat. You're actually out there actively searching for fish. And when you spot one, that's when the game really starts.
So it's very much like stalking then, like you're stalking them, aren't you?
Exactly. Yeah. It's, you're looking for them. And once you spot the fish, you got to approach them within a comfortable casting distance to present the fly very accurately. They're carp are like vacuum cleaners. They're moseying along the bottom, you know, and they're filtering out dirt, looking for whatever it is their forage is, whether it be damselfly nymphs, baby crayfish, tiny nymphs of any kind of insect, really, clams, worms, you name it. And so they don't really chase flies like something like a redfish would. Like a redfish is a predator and that they're out there chasing bait fish and shrimp. A carp won't chase flies like a predator fish would. So you have to really kind of just feed the fish in the sense that you have to put the fly right on their face. You have to make sure that basically as they're moving along the bottom, they're going to go over your fly and see it without them having to exert much energy.
So you kind of you present it in their food path then, wherever they're kind of moving to. So it's they're going to meet that bait then. Is that correct?
Exactly. And then once they're within sight of your fly and that they can see it, and you just very minor movements to make it look like a little crayfish or nymph trying to escape, but it has to be really minute because those little tiny creatures aren't going to move very fast, even when they're trying to flee a predator. So trying to get that close to a carp, present the fly that close to them, and then not blowing it once the fly is in place.
That's where the skill comes in then, isn't it?
Exactly. It's really challenging. And a lot of times, you know, carp live in really muddy water, especially on the Chattahoochee, the water's really muddy. So you're really just casting at shadows or tails or plumes of, you know, sometimes you won't even, if the water's too deep, all you'll see is a plume of mud. You know, it looks like an atomic bomb went off. Just like, there'll be like muddy water, then there'll be like an area where it's really muddy. And that's where the carps, and there's a bunch of bubbles coming up. So
you've been targeting them specific carp kind of as your primary fish. How long have you been doing that for?
Primarily targeting carp for 3 years now.
Okay. And it is quite humbling, isn't it? From all the other fly anglers that I've spoken to, they have this perception and they think they're going to go out and catch a carp on the fly, but it doesn't actually work that way straight away, does it?
No, not at all. It's kind of the joke. Like a lot of guys are like, oh, just go out there with a bunch of bread and you'll catch a carp. And it's really not the case. When I first started fishing for them, it took me 3 separate days of fishing to land my first one. So it took me 3 separate trips. And then that first year, I only caught 20 carp the whole year.
The entire year?
The entire year, yeah. And then the next year, I started really coming into my own as I started to figure things out. And it takes some time and some really getting used to the behavior of the fish.
You probably have to be quite patient, don't you?
Very patient.
And where would you say the difference was in the learning curve between fishing for them, the difference in the learning curve between fishing for carp as a species as opposed to, is there a longer learning curve? If you were fishing for other species before carp, how long does it take you to kind of adapt to their way of feeding so that you can actually catch them? Because there's obviously a learning curve there, isn't there?
There is. And I think it depends on the angler. For saltwater guys, people that are like me that have come from a saltwater background where they're used to sight fishing, I think the learning curve will probably be a little bit less because it is very much just like the same game as a saltwater species like a redfish or a bonefish where, you know, it's the same thing. You just have to kind of adjust to the carp behavior of being a little bit of a lazier feeder than a bonefish or a redfish. So, I mean, once you figure that out, it's easy. But if you're a trout fisherman and, you know, you're used to fish really chasing flies, or, you know, if you're a nymph fisherman and you're used to basically just chucking a nymph frig and then letting it drift and not doing much, you're just letting it drift through the current, I think the learning curve is going to be a little bit longer just because you have to take more of an active role in feeding that fish as an angler rather than just putting the fly in the water and then letting the current do its job. You have a much bigger role in trying to feed that fish with carp fishing. So
you have a rather interesting job now because you get to work with other fishermen because you work for Orvis, don't you?
I do. Yeah. I work for the marketing team up at Orvis.
You get to meet probably quite a few other fly anglers then.
I am. I'm pretty lucky to be surrounded by some of the industry's finest anglers. It's given me an opportunity to just learn from a wealth of knowledge. And it's cool. Everybody's kind of got their own preferences on what species they like to fish for, what style of fly fishing they like to pursue, their backgrounds. And so you get kind of a cool melting pot of anglers at Orvis, people that have been all over the world, people that have just fished locally. So it's been really neat. It's like working in a fly fishing encyclopedia.
I bet. Now, so what do you experience when you speak to other fly anglers, you know, that are fishing for other species and then they find out that you actually fish for carp? What's the general reaction that you get?
Some of the older guys that I've talked to, whether working in the fly shop or guys at work, some of the older anglers are a little bit more hesitant to it. They're very much still kind of stuck in the, hey, I fly fishing, yeah, stuck in like fly fishing is for trout. I'm going to go dry fly fish for a brown trout. That's, and there's nothing wrong with that, but they're the ones that usually kind of turn their nose up at me when I say I fly fish for carp. But what's cool is some of the younger generations, the millennials and my generation, Gen Z, those guys get pretty jazzed about it. The younger generations kind of come into their own in fly fishing. There's more of an emphasis on, hey, let's, if it hasn't been caught with a fly yet, let's try to catch it.
And that's a great attitude for anglers. I mean, all of us, when we start off as anglers, we have no prejudice towards the species. It's about the unknown, you know, what's in the water, what we can catch. There's no prejudice or bias against the species per se. And I thought that your answer there would probably be the same as it is for, you know, for those of us that fish freshwater fish in a Euro style. It's a generational thing. And you're probably seeing the same thing, but I think that's really cool that you got young anglers coming into it. They don't have a lot of those biases, and they're gonna want to fish for the species that grow the largest, that give them the best fight, I would imagine.
Exactly. And I think the other really attractive thing that for guys that really like to fish for carp is, you know, as the world kind of focuses on, you know, ethical angling, it's widely known that you really shouldn't, in a lot of areas, you shouldn't fish for trout when it's, you know, July and it's 95 degrees out. It's not good for the trout to be handled. But carp are right. That's like heart of carp season in a lot of places is July and August. So when guys really are kind of like, I don't want to be, you know, stressing the trout too much. Well, that's totally cool, because go catch carp, because you're right in the heart of carp season by July and August. So it gives people something else to target. For people that are really into saltwater fishing, it's given people kind of a way to get used to saltwater fishing. And then, I've even talked to guys that'll try to practice on carp and then go fish for redfish or bonefish and be like, wow, the redfish and the bonefish are a lot easier to catch than the carp.
I've heard that a lot that they definitely make you a better fly angler all around. I mean, that's a universal answer that we get in interviews with people, from any fly angler that has fished for carp, is that they just make you a better angler.
I think they do, because to find them and approach them, your stealth has to be on point. You have to really be able to read the water and read underneath the water. And then you also have to read fish behavior, because unlike something like a bass, where, you know, if you present a fly to a bass, he's going to smash it. He's going to want to kill whatever fly you have. A carp's not going to do that. So you really, their eat is very subtle. You know, you have to really pay attention to their body language.
Well, they're actually a much more intelligent species. It's been scientifically proven as well. They're actually one of the most intelligent freshwater species. So they're naturally, I would imagine, going to be harder to catch than many others.
Yeah, so like the fishery that I started on in Atlanta, where, you know, it's pretty high pressure. There's a lot of flying birds in Atlanta that target carp, and so the carp there are pretty wise to flies, and so they remember things. And carp have been blessed with one of the largest freshwater fish brains in the animal kingdom. And so they pick up on a gig pretty quick. And, you know, they have extremely well attuned senses, finely tuned senses to their surroundings. And so if you're on a kayak like me, or you're on a boat, or you're stalking, like any kind of unnatural noise or ripples in the water, they spook. If they're used to being fished for, they're going to pick up on that stuff really easily. They can get really line shy. They get spooky around the line landing over them, the ripples on the water from the fly line hitting the water at a cast. So the more those fish get targeted, the smarter they become and the harder they become to catch.
That brings me to the next question in regards to tackle that you use for them. I mean, obviously, a 10 or a 15 pound carp, I mean, they fight, they go like a train. So what type of tackle do you use as a fly angler to target them?
I like a 7-weight. That's my preference. I think a 7-weight is kind of that perfect cusp of having enough backbone to handle a 10 to 15 pound carp, but also light enough to where you don't feel like you're overshooting the size of the rod that you need. Most guys I see usually bring 8-weights, which an 8-weight is kind of the standard for big game fly fishing. So that's an 8-weight or a 7-weight is what you're kind of looking for. But I like a 7-weight. And then I use floating line, when I'm going to a fly, if I go into a fly shop, they don't have carp fly line. So what you would, but just like I was saying before, the presentation and style of fishing is the same as bonefish. So if you go to your fly shop, look for the bonefish, floating bonefish lines. That's going to be perfect for what you're going to be doing for carp fishing, because the size flies and the way you want to present those flies is the exact same as a bonefish. So get your bone. I like bonefish line to go on my rigs. I usually use a 9 to 10 foot leader. Typically a 9 foot leader works for me, but if the carp are super spooky, then I'll go down and use a 10 foot leader. I usually have it tapered down to a 10 pound tippet. And I like a foot to 2 feet of 10 pound fluorocarbon.
Where does it start? What poundage does it get that taper start at?
I'm not really sure what they start the tapers at. I'm not as technically proficient with making my own leaders as some guys are. I buy the prepackaged leaders.
Right.
And
but the skinny part is 10 pound, right?
Yeah. The skinny part at the end is what you would call, you would call your tippet section.
Yeah.
And that's usually, I usually use 10 pound tippet section.
Gotcha. Okay. So yeah. So it sounds like the idea would be some kind of combination between an 8 and a 7 weight rod, 8 for the backbone and 7 for the finesse.
Yeah, I mean, they don't, fly rods go up from starting in the smallest range, like a 2 weight, is where the smallest, and then they go up. I think the largest fly rod I've heard of is a 16 weight. I've heard of people using 16 weights for large offshore fish, but.
So if there was then a hybrid that would get the best of both worlds, because with everything that you're saying applies exactly the same for European rods. Obviously the lighter the rod, the more play that you have in it. And the heavier, you know, the more backbone it's got, but it's a little bit bulkier. And I would imagine that especially the casting aspect with fly fishing, you've got to get that. That's got to be comfortable, isn't it, in your hand, the weight of that rod, to be able to have enough backbone to stop the fish, but have that sensitive upper section of it. So
sure. And I mean, there's a lot of, you know, we're blessed with a lot of different high end fly rod companies out there that, and each fly rod company is a little bit different. And my recommendation for finding kind of the right balance on what fly rod you have is go to your local fly shop, cast them, find out which one feels right to you. Some companies are known to have stiffer rods, which means they're faster action. You're going to get more line speed, be able to cast farther. Some companies have a little bit softer actions in their rods, which makes presenting a fly at a closer range is easier. So for a carp, I would say go with the company where you feel you have a little bit more feel. At Orvis, we have kind of the best of both worlds, where we have our premium rod, the H3s. There's the Helios 3D, which is your faster action rod. And if you're looking to try and make really long casts in excess of 50 and 60 feet, and you want to try to touch 70 and 80 feet casts, 80 foot casts, you would go with something like the H3D. But for carp fishing, where I'm making casts usually under 40 feet, and I want to be able to place a fly gently in front of a fish, there's the Helios 3F, which stands for feel.
What about the composition of the rod, because there's a lot of guys that use carbon, there's a lot of guys that use fiberglass now too, isn't there?
Yeah, fiberglass is kind of a blast from the past, if you will. That was the originally fly rods were first made from bamboo, and then they started being made out of fiberglass, and then graphite came along, and now pretty much all your major fly rod manufacturers use graphite, and graphite's gotten better over the years, and a lot of these premium rods out there have some pretty high tech stuff into their technology with the graphite they're using. But fiberglass is really popular for carp because you really, for one, it helps you present a fly very softly because they're slower action rods. It's going to have a slower feel when you're casting a fiberglass rod. And frankly, it's just a lot more fun to fight a 10 pound carp on a rod that's going to bend all the way into the cork. Because fiberglass rods honestly have a lot less backbone than your graphite rods, but that's actually kind of fun when you're fighting a 10 pound fish that pulls as hard as a carp. If you have I have an eight weight fiberglass rod, and when I hook a decent sized carp, that whole rod bends into the cork handle. So it's pretty, a lot of times the fiberglass thing is more so for the fun of the fight than necessarily any advantage you're getting.
When you fly fish, because there's guys I've been speaking to recently, a lot of them will sight fish from like a skiff, right? So do you do a lot of fly fishing for carp from an actual boat, or is it from the bank, or is it a combination of both?
I fish out of a stand-up kayak. It's a it's a fishing kayak that's wide enough where I can actually stand in it, kind of like a paddleboard, stand up paddleboard. Fishing for them out of skiffs is obviously the ideal way to do it, because it's going to give you the most stability and it's going to help you see further, so you can spot the fish from a long distance away because you're higher off the water. For what I have available to me, I've been fishing out of a kayak this entire time since I started. A great option too is stand up paddle boards. That's another really good option. I'd say probably the best boat to fish for carp out of that I've had the pleasure of fishing out of is a towie boat. They're made down in Tennessee in McMinnville. And they're kind of a high-end canoe. It looks like a canoe and a technical saltwater skiff kind of meshed into one boat.
Combined?
Yeah. So think of like a canoe and a technical saltwater skiff and mesh it together. And that's what a towie is. They can float in extremely shallow water, putting you right in the area where carp are. They're very quiet. You can move around those boats and not make hardly any noise, which is good for stalking fish. You can usually get them customized to have pulling platforms. So if you're fishing with a partner, you can have one person with a push pole helping guide you through the water, and you can stand up at the front and focus on just casting and looking for fish.
What about unhooking of the fish? Because obviously a lot of times fly anglers will fish, you know, they can actually fish in the water. A lot of European anglers, obviously, the European approach, we use mats, we catch the fish, we bring, you know, to take pictures and that type of thing. A lot of fly anglers, they unhook the fish actually in the net. They never take it to the land. They don't need to, do they?
We try to keep, at least for me as an angler, I try to keep the fish out of water less than a minute. I don't want that fish standing out of water. And the only time I would really want to take it out of the water is if it was a fish I wanted a picture with. If it's a fish that I don't really plan on taking a picture with, yeah, I usually just net the fish at the boat, unhook it, look at it and admire it for a few seconds, and then let him go on his way.
In regards to the pictures and that type of thing, what are your thoughts in terms of, obviously, the popularity of carp has grown significantly. We've seen it at the American Carp Society grow significantly over the last 3 to 5 years. And a lot of that has to do with the quality of the pictures that people are actually taking, because that's the representation that the public gets and other anglers get of the fish, is obviously the quality of the picture. So we've seen a lot of fly anglers take some incredible shots. How do you guys approach that? Do you just use an iPhone or do you use a timer? How do you approach that?
I'm not much of a photographer myself, but I do have a GoPro with me, usually when I'm out fishing, which helps because a lot of times I'm fishing solo. But I have some friends that are phenomenal photographers, and there does seem to be, with Instagram becoming so popular and just the use of a lot of different social media platforms, the emphasis on representing our sport through high quality photography has taken a huge approach. And friends that I've met through fly shops and other fly fishing groups, it seems there's a lot of marrying of the hobby of high quality photography and fly fishing.
Yeah. And that can only be a positive thing. Like I said, we've seen some absolutely stunning, there's a couple of fly anglers out there. Gerald Lee's one of them, takes some incredible pictures and they're almost like art. Of the fish, and then that in turn is something that represents the fish better, which changes the, you know, changes the perception. I think a lot of that has to do with the increasing amount of anglers over the past 3 to 5 years that have been getting into the sport, because a lot of them, like you said, are of another generation. They're used to social media and they're getting those pictures through their feeds and stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, I think social media. I think carp are one of the species that have really benefited from social media, because people can put out high quality photos and really high quality videos depicting what goes on a carp fishing trip. And people can see, like, this is really exciting. This isn't a trash fish. This looks awesome. And since the development of, film tours, which is a really big thing in the fly fishing world, like the fly fishing film tour, some really, really cool movies have come out representing carp fishing. And I think carp have really benefited from social media and avenues like the Fly Fishing Film Tour, where they can create these really high quality, high resolution photos and videos to show people how awesome the fish is. And I think in that regard, carp have really benefited, and the sport has really benefited from social media.
And what are you seeing, in all this? Do you get a lot of younger anglers that come in that have never fished before? I mean, do you get any that have never fly fished before, and they come in and they're starting to target carp to start with before anything else? Because obviously that would have never happened in the past, but I can imagine you're going to have more of a probability of that happening now with, like you said, a younger generation that goes fishing. They catch the fish, they share that information with others, and maybe people that have never even been fishing before can start out targeting carp as their first species on the fly.
Yeah, I think everyone in the industry would agree with that statement, that it is going to become one of those fish that becomes an entry-level fish, and like the starting fish. Where I was working in the fly shops down in Atlanta, we had a very diverse fishery, so I didn't meet anybody directly that had started fly fishing because of carp. I knew a lot of people that got really excited about carp, but there are places in this country, especially particularly in the Midwest, where trout aren't available, and it's brutally hot, and there's not a ton of fish to go fly fishing for because of how hot it is, and how most fish, like in big lakes and stuff, like bass, you got to fish really, really deep for those fish. But carp are available because they live in the shallows and they thrive in that warmer environment. And so I think for a lot of folks, for people that are landlocked and people that don't have access to other fisheries, but they want to fly fish, carp offer them a really exciting experience right in their own backyards. They don't have to go travel to some wild destination to go have a fly fishing experience. They can go to their local river or pond, even if it be smack in the middle of the flyover states or in the middle of a city, and they can have a really incredible experience fishing for a really challenging fish.
We've seen that with a number of anglers. I mean, there's a number of fly anglers that we've done interviews with before, that fish for permit. They go down to Baja. They fly all over the world and fish for some very exotic species, saltwater. And they say the same thing, Brandon. They say, at certain times of the year, if it's obviously not necessarily for scenery as much, but if you want sport, they're there in your local river or the local pond, and they will really test your angling skills.
Absolutely. And they're just fun. I mean, there's not a lot of other fish in freshwater here in the U.S. that will routinely put you into your backing on a fly reel. But carp do it pretty regularly. So that's the one of the cool things about them, is they're, once you do hook one, it's quite a ride that they take you on.
And we see the same thing in a Euro style too. If you've never caught them before, once you do, very rarely do you just cast it inside and go, meh. Yeah, that was fun, and you don't do it again. It's one of those things when you actually hook into it, everything pretty much changes,
Yeah, and I think part of the reason, because I've never met somebody that I've taken carp fishing that hasn't gone carp fishing before that didn't fall in love with it. And I think that's just from the longstanding viewing of carp as a trash fish, which they're not. But that's just kind of American culture, is because fish like largemouth bass have been so glorified over the years.
They have, haven't they? And it's, but we do see the same thing. We see even the oldest, more skeptical individuals who have, let's say generational birthing of, of that perception of the fish. It's humbling for a lot of anglers. And it's a great conversation to have. Say, listen, when you first started catching fish, you didn't care what the species was. You wanted the biggest, you wanted the hardest to fish for. You wanted one that was going to give you the best fight. You're pure when you first start out as a kid, aren't you?
Yeah, because it's just about the enjoyment of catching a fish.
Which is what it should be about now at any age. It should be about exactly the same thing, So, we've seen, it's great that you see that. And I would imagine, the reactions that you get in a place like Orvis, because you're going to get all different generations of people coming in, and there's some people that you won't be able to help by opening their eyes and that type of thing, and that's fine, but we are seeing definitely a younger generation of anglers that a lot of them that they're absolutely nuts for it, which is great. It's great for the species, it's great for the future of the species here in the US. And as you mentioned, having social media be a part of it, I think it was something that was very profound. I think carp is probably the species out of all of them that has benefited the most from it.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think some of the other, within the fly fishing world, there's a lot of cool stuff that we've done to promote carp all over the country. Every year there are carp fly fishing tournaments. It's not like a what you think of when you think of like a bass tournament, where there are these sports car looking boats and big payouts and whatnot. A fly fishing tournament is much more laid back. It's a lot more about the experience and meeting new people, sharing a good drink, sharing a good meal, going out and catching some fish, having a few laughs. And if you're lucky, you land some fish. So they're a lot more laid back, and it's just a great way to build community. And I think one thing that's really cool that I've seen is that carp have also helped build more community in fly fishing. You don't have like trout fishing tournaments, like large scale trout fishing tournaments around the country that people do. There are a few. I wouldn't say there's none, but they don't build the community that like these carp tournaments seem to bring out, because there isn't the elitism with them. Like with trout, there's a very elitist kind of view of trout. Whereas with carp, it's the angler that it attracts is a much more laid back. Let's just go have fun. These are awesome fish. Let's share it with people.
And I think you mentioned something there, and I think it's important to point out, because we see it at the tournaments that we do at the American Carp Society, when we put on the Mill Creek Carp, or we do a Euro style tournament. The thing about carp fishing that is I've found is really different from any other species is that the people that fish for them are so passionate about them, their focus is entirely on the fish. It's not about the boat, you know, tearing across the water like a drag boat. I remember when Wayne and I first came over from the UK and we watched some American TV and we saw some fishing shows and we couldn't believe it. They were literally like drag boats, you know, tearing across the water. Somebody, you know, fishing for bass, you know, 5 foot from the shore.
Yep.
And we're going, why don't they just fish for them from the shore? They're using these like $30,000 boats. It's hilarious.
It's pretty crazy.
But I think you're right. There's a big community sort of involved in it. And I think the thing that everybody has in common, whether they're fishing for them through fly angling, whether they're fishing for the species, Euro style, anything like that, We all have a very deep connection with the fish itself. The fish is always the star for us, and that's not quite the same, or it hasn't been the same with a lot of other species. And the lifestyle that carp angling now seems to bring, especially with the younger generation of fly anglers, there's some really cool stuff going on. We've had interviews with guys that are your professional artists that fish for carp on the fly, professional BMX riders and that type of thing. It's got a really cool edge to it. It's very encouraging to see that happen. You know, I haven't and can't really perceive a really cool edge to fishing for trout. It doesn't have the same kind of ring to it.
It's trout just seem to have, when I've seen in all aspects of the areas that I've, in all the areas I've fished for trout, there just seems, with trout, there's a level of elitism that just...
It's very traditional, isn't it? That's why.
It's very traditional. And the thing that's silly, and I might get in trouble for saying this from some folks, but I'm going to say it anyway, but...
Go on, say it.
a lot of folks in the trout world view trout as a native species. Trout are not, other than brook trout on the East Coast.
That's right.
Cutthroat and rainbows on the West Coast. For the most part, trout are an invasive species, especially brown trout. Brown trout are only native to Europe, parts of Europe. They're not native to the U.S., but they're viewed with this level of esteem because it's a trout. And then those same I've had discussions with these people that are hardcore trout anglers that'll view carp as trash fish, and they'll make the statement like, oh, well, it's an invasive species. And then I'll just counter with that and say, well, you know that brown trout you just caught is also an invasive species.
Is it exactly? Exactly.
And it came from the same part of the world that carp did.
Exactly. A lot of it, again, is misinformation, understanding, and, you know, ignorance, that type of thing. We have a biologist with us at the American Carp Society, Evan Carlibiano, and we actually have studies on the fish, scientific studies from Europe, scientific studies from here, and so on. So you can usually navigate those conversations, you know, with individuals. The best way to navigate the conversation with an individual that has a bias towards the fish is just give them a rod and tell them, well, you try and catch one. And then when they do catch one, a lot of things change. You know, a lot of things change. Wayne and I actually had an experience when we first came over years ago, and we were living in Los Angeles. And we actually had, we were fishing a lake there. and I won't mention the name of the lake just in case I don't want to get the guy in trouble, but the ranger for the lake, who was the gentleman who actually oversaw the entire lake, you know, was a police officer type of thing. I think it's the ranger is the top person. He came around and he asked what we were doing, and we were Euro fishing for him, and we told him, and he kind of laughed. And I think Wayne or I, one of us had a run, and I just gave him the rod and said, yeah, come here, you know. And the guy who was in charge of marshalling all the laws for the lake, within a week was taking us both out in his police boat or in his ranger boat, illegally chumming for them for us because he thought it was so much fun. So when you give the rod to somebody or they actually try it, like a lot of things, you know, the bias and preconceptions, they change. Bring on to another subject. With Sin, because you've been helping us a lot, Brandon, with you know, with the fly angling side of things for the American Carp Society, over the past few months specifically, we've found there's a lot of guides in states across the country that actually do professional guiding for carp, don't they?
There are. It's like I had said earlier, because trout, really your trout season is kind of early spring, mid spring, and then fall. So you got these guides still how to make a living. And then in the heat of summer, you can't really take people out trout fishing because it's bad for those trout to be handled in that warm water. But carp are right in the middle of the best part of the year to fish for them is in the heat of summer. And so they're like, well, when people realize how fun carp is, I could keep guiding all through my summer months when normally I would have to stop guiding because I can't fish for trout right now.
Are there any venues in the United States that specifically you would like to fly fish for carp for that you haven't done?
Definitely. There's a couple, but I think top of mind would be Beaver Island, which is in Lake Michigan. If you were to look up Beaver Island right now, you would swear that you misspelled something and it took you to a picture of a Caribbean island. And the flats there where you fish for these carp are crystal clear. They look like saltwater flats. And because it's such a large body of water, the carp there grow enormous. And if you're someone that's really interested in trying to catch a 20-plus pound carp, which who isn't, if you want to catch a fish that big on a fly rod in shallow water by sight fishing for them, Beaver Island is definitely your best bet. I mean, without a doubt, that's your best chance at catching a fish that large on a fly rod in shallow water. And the other cool thing about Beaver Island, and I've never been there, but I've done a lot of reading on them, on that area, is that the carp there act a lot more predatory than they do in other fisheries where they're actually eating.
I've heard that from another fly angler too, because they go off the bait fish and stuff there too, don't they?
Yeah, if you look at the flies that the guides are giving their clients, they're enormous crayfish patterns and bait fish patterns. Right. Something that, like where I fish for carp in Vermont and New York, I would never throw something that big at one of our carp. I'd scare it.
Yeah,
but in Lake Michigan, that's run of the mill. Are these enormous, almost bass-looking streamers and crayfish patterns?
Carp will take they'll take fry. You know, they will take a bait fish as well.
They will, and for me, understanding that part of their biology just makes me admire them as a species a lot. Because for something like a trout, where trout are actually, to be quite honest, they're probably one of the wimpier species of fish out there because they need an extremely specific type of an ecosystem to thrive in. And if that ecosystem alters at all, they'll probably die off. Carp are, they're evolvers. They can evolve to their ecosystem, whether that be a canal running through a city or a pristine mountain river or a giant lake. They can adapt and thrive in whatever environment you put them in, and they're survivors. And to me, that just shows how hardy they are as a species, which to me, that doesn't make them a trash fish. That makes them a superior species because they know how those fish will survive. When other species are being damaged by the environment, carp will learn to adapt and evolve. And that's a survivor species.
I can imagine, you know, I've caught 45 plus pound fish before on Euro tackle that's really heavy. I would imagine a 20-pound carp on a fly, you know, on a fly outfit could absolutely wreck you.
Yeah, I think depending on where your fishery is, if you know you have fish of that caliber, you kind of got to adapt your tackle. If you were going back to my reference to Beaver Island, I know and I've heard from guides that fish out there that they'll actually use 9 and 10 weight fly rods, which is something you'd use for larger saltwater fish, because they know the chances of you hooking into a 20-plus pound carp on Lake Michigan is pretty good. Fishing on the smaller, medium-sized rivers that I am, chances of seeing a fish that big aren't as good. So I can scale down and use like a 7 or 8 weight, like I was saying earlier. So depending on your fishery, well, that'll kind of judge your tackle. If you're someone that's fishing on a massive lake where you know you routinely see fish over 20 pounds, you should probably scale up to a 9 weight or a 10 weight.
Do you have a preference for rivers or lakes or ponds for them?
I prefer rivers. For me, as a fly angler, there's just something romantic about being on a river. And also in a kayak, it's easier for me to maneuver through a river. I can start at the top of the river and just float down. So being out of a kayak, I can cover more water if on a river in my kayak than I can on a lake. Now, if I had a boat, like if I had a towie, it'd be a different story. I'd go and fish the lakes. I could cover water faster on a boat. But for me, I have a lot of fun and have had a lot of success on rivers fishing for carp.
They are an incredible species to fish for, no doubt. And we're seeing a lot more individuals come into the American Carp Society too, specifically that are fishing for them on the fly. So we're going to be taking that into consideration moving forward and trying to do as much as we can for our fly carping brothers and sisters coming on board with us that are helping to promote the fish, you know, as a sport fish, as a species for others to get involved with, because it doesn't matter what age you are. If you have the opportunity to catch one of these fish, they put up an incredible fight. They're worthy of a great deal of respect. And we have a number of Euro anglers that have started to fish for them on the fly, Brandon. And there's a couple of guys that they specifically fish for them on the fly now. They've kind of sold their Euro tackle. So I know there's a huge movement of people out there that do love the species, and it's great to hear from somebody like yourself that is interacting with other anglers too, you know, to get your feedback and to get the reactions of, you know, anglers out there at different generations that possibly have never fished for them before. You're actually in a great position to be able to steward the fish in terms of its public image to, you know, maybe turn some other people onto it.
Yeah, and it's the fun thing that for me is there's actually a lot of folks at Orvis, you know, that are closer to my age and a little bit older than me that are also really passionate about carp. Guys that you would think would be hardcore trout guys, and they're actually in love with carp. So it's fun for me to be around other anglers. And if you're someone out there that's trying to kind of decide whether or not you want to get into this, I would say yes, for two reasons. One, the community of carp fishing is amazing. The folks that carp fish, especially whether you're a Euro angler or a fly angler, folks, it's not an elitist sport. People are really welcoming and want to help other people catch these fish. So anybody's welcome in the sport. So I love that aspect of it. I don't feel like it's an elitist sport like I do with that you see with other species. And two, as a fly angler specifically, you really gain an appreciation for carp behavior because you see them when you're fishing for them. You see them interacting with their environment. You see how they are feeding and what they're doing, what they're hunting. And so you really get a cool view into the world of carp by fly fishing for them, because it's a sight fishing game.
And they do make you a better angler, don't they? They undoubtedly make you a better angler all round if you target them as a species.
No question. It is a challenge and there's a learning curve, but it is going to make you a better angler for a lot of other species by your accuracy in your casts, your ability to stay motionless and be stealthy on the water. Beat your ability to read the water and read fish behavior. All of those things play into being a successful carp angler and will play into you being successful for other species.
Excellent. Well, that's about all we have time for today. I'd like to thank our guest, Brandon Turigny, for all of his help with this. You can reach out to Brandon through the American Carp Society Facebook group and any questions that you might have on fly carping. Brandon, if somebody wants to get in touch with you personally, do you have what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
I would say the best way to get in touch with me would be on Instagram or Facebook. My name is Brandon Turigny. The last name is weird, so I'll spell it for everybody. It's T-O-U Trigny, and you can find me on Instagram by just looking for Trigny_onthefly.
Thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back here at the same time, same place, 2 weeks from now. In the next episode of The American Carper, we will start our monthly competition, a chance for you, the listeners, to win free merchandise. So don't forget to join us. You can reach out to us all at The American Carp Society through Facebook and Instagram, Pinterest and Twitter. Tag us with your catches, hashtag American Carp Society and hashtag join the guilty ones. And we'll feature you in the feed. You can reach me directly with any questions at Sean@AmericanCarpSociety.com. Be lucky. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back here same time, same place, 2 weeks from now. Don't forget you can reach out to us all at the American Carp Society through Facebook and Instagram, Pinterest and Twitter. And you can reach me directly with any questions at Sean@AmericanCarpSociety.com. Be lucky.